Boss Boss Radio and the Big Boss Show. Good Friday morning. John Van Camp with you. And 50 years ago this weekend, it is that the biggest countdown show of all, the granddaddy of them all, American Top 40, premiered on July 4th, 1970.
Go with the top 40 hits in the nation this week on American Top 40, the best-selling and most played songs from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from Canada to Mexico. This is Casey Kasem in Hollywood, and in the next 3 hours, we'll count down the 40 most popular hits in the United States this week, hot off the record charts of Billboard magazine for the week ending July the 11th, 1970. In this hour, at number 32 in the countdown, a song that's been a hit 4 different times in 19 years. And we're just one tune away from the singer with the $10,000 gold hubcaps on his car. Now on with the countdown.
Number 40.
Here's Marvin Gaye, his hit, End of Our Road.
So excited and so thrilled to introduce to you my special guest this morning who used to work on the show. He actually put the show together physically a lot of weeks. Please welcome from American Top 40, Guy Aoki. Hey, Guy.
Hey, John. Thanks for having me.
So you worked at American Top 40 in the 80s, right?
Yes, April 1984 through June 1988. So a little over 4 years.
And you worked with the man, right? You worked with Casey.
I worked with the man. I was in the sessions when he recorded the show for at least 2 years.
Wow.
I mixed his show. You know, people don't realize this. We try to create the fantasy that this was a live show, but Casey, being the perfectionist that he was, he went over each line until he got it right. At the end of a session, they would create a master voice track, taking out all the mistakes. And then I would go into the studio with an engineer and I would mix in the records.
Oh, so you'd do all the hard work.
Yeah. So put it this way. The script for a 4-hour show, this is without Casey hearing the actual record. What the engineers would do is, say they're playing, What a Fool Believes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They'll just play Casey the intro time of it leading up to the vocal just so he can match his introduction to the tempo of the record. And then they would cut out the record and they would just play the outro. And so he would know how to match the tempo of the outro. You know, at number 9 this week, the Doobie Brothers with What a Fool Believes. So he didn't hear the records. But even if we just played him the intro and the outro, to record a 4-hour script, he took 4 hours.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it took a long time.
And this was in the days before computers.
Yeah, this is reel-to-reel tape. So, and the engineers would have to write a circle around each retake. So whatever line he started to retake, they go 1, 2, 3. I saw him take 21 takes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they would have to, after the show, the hour was over, another engineer would take the reel and go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 21. Okay, cut. Okay, splice, put that together. Okay, continue on to the next mistake. And then they put together the voice track.
To explain how you used to edit, because now it's all done in a digital file on a computer screen and
right.
Boom, it's done. So walk us through the splice setup.
Well, the engineer would do this. I didn't do this, but you know, they would record the show.
Mm-hmm.
And after an hour was done, they would give it to another engineer and he would take out all the mistakes. And so they would have to sit there with a blade and with tape, and they would run it through. Where's that? They would run it through the thing. Okay, that's take one. Okay, they find the right take they want. They'd cut off all the ones they don't want. They cut it off with a razor, and then they would put it in their little, what do you call that thing?
The splicing block. Yep.
And they would put tape on it, and they would go on and to the next mistake, and then they would slice that part out, and then they would cut out the next 5 takes that were wrong, and they would pick it up with the right take and then put tape on it and proceed.
That's crazy.
Well, here's a funny story. See, in the old days, when the show started July 4th, 1970,
mm-hmm.
they did the whole show live with the whole records in there because Tom Rounds, who was the executive producer,
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to lose sound quality. He didn't want to lose a generation in tape. Casey did a live show. They played the entire records. But the problem was, once Casey made a mistake, they would have to redo it all over again. So it was crazy, crazy. So
wow.
What happened was, in 1971 or 72, Dick Clark came in as a guest host. And Dick Clark told them, you people are crazy. There's no way to do this. Look, this is what you should do. You should record his voice track separate, add the records in afterwards. And it took about 6 months for them to do that, but that's what they did. And that's how they're able to proceed in production ever since then. So Dick Clark was the one that told them how to do it right. Thank you, Dick Clark.
Yeah, you know, and I was in radio back in the 70s was when I got started. And it was the 80s before I actually worked at a station that carried American Top 40. Had no idea until I was older how that thing got to radio stations. There was no satellite. There was no internet. There was Greyhound bus.
Here's the thing that might surprise people. We got the chart from Billboard around 5 p.m. Matt Wilson, the associate producer, he already had on cards all these different stories that were pre-written. So okay. He would figure out how to block the show. Like, okay, two songs, commercial, three songs, commercial, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And then he would figure out how much music there was going to be and to balance the hours and how many long stories to use versus how many short stories to use. By the late 70s, they were recording half of it Wednesday night and then the other half Thursday morning or Thursday afternoon. And then Thursday, they would mix the show, mm-hmm. add the records in. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, it would be pressed up on vinyl. I mean, at first, they just sent out reel-to-reel tapes.
Right. That's expensive.
Then, yeah, very expensive.
Very expensive.
But so first it was reel-to-reel, and then it went to vinyl. So they would ship it out on a Friday to the radio stations, not to use that weekend, but to use the following
week. Right.
The lapse between the chart being released privately on a Monday night, that was not heard until almost 2 weeks later.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. So it would be published in Billboard at the end of the week, probably, right? So it wasn't that far behind. It is the 50th anniversary of American Top 40 with Casey Kasem. We're talking with Guy Aoki. We'll be right back. We're talking with Guy Aoki, who used to work at American Top 40 in the heyday with Casey Kasem. It is the 50th anniversary of American Top 40 this weekend. Of the original founders, nobody's still with us, right? We lost the
founders. Yeah, it's so sad. You know, beginning in 2014, between 2014 and 2018, we lost all four of the founders. Tom Rounds, TR, we lost him in June of 2014. 2 weeks later, we lost Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
And then Ron Jacobs, who became a very popular disc jockey in Hawaii, he was one of the production people. He kind of helped to create the sound of the show, like going into the commercials. It's Casey's Coast to Coast. That was his idea.
Yeah.
So he passed away a couple years later. And then Don Bustani, who was the original producer and writer and the man who hired me, he died 2 years ago. So they're all gone.
I know you probably went to every funeral, right? All four?
Ron Jake was in Hawaii, so I didn't go back to Hawaii for that. I went to TR's, I went to Don's, and I went to Casey's. Yeah, and I got to speak at Casey's memorial, private memorial, which was really, really flattering. And if people want to check it out on YouTube, you just type in my name and Casey Kasem Memorial, and you'll see the speech I gave. Because the whole thing was recorded, but the only segment that we've been allowed to put up for public consumption is the speech that I gave.
We'll put the link on our website afterwards.
Okay. Make sure. It talks about how I got my job, and it also talks about how I got to work with Casey in the 90s outside of the studio on civil rights things and and media advocacy, because I formed a volunteer organization called Media Action Network for Asian Americans, where we try to educate people in television, film, and radio about stereotypes of Asian people.
Right.
And he was there for two of my protests, one of my press conferences. Don Bustani, the same thing. He was there with Casey. And they're just really, really good people. They just stood on principle, and they're just fantastic people. And for Casey Kasem to tell the press, I'm going to be down at the protest with my good friend Guy Aoki, and I hope you join us. I mean, it's one of those, you pinch yourself saying,
yeah.
He just called me his good friend. Wow.
To stand in, I mean, you know, we all get into media for one reason or another. And then when we get to work with our heroes, it's actually very cool. And I'm glad you got a chance to do that. So after you left American Top 40, where'd you go?
I went to the LA Times.
Uh-huh.
To do reporting there. And my main claim to fame was I did a story in Sunday Calendar about Donny Osmond trying to make a comeback. That was the main story I wanted to do when I was so sick and tired of people putting him down and, you know, for his image problems from the 70s with Donnie Marie show and being a teen idol. And that was my main goal. I wanted to give Donny Osmond respect. And he was very hesitant to talk to me because he had been screwed over by 60 Minutes and Rolling Stone magazine. And I had to talk to his manager three times to convince him to have Donny call me. And Donny finally called me, and he remembered I had interviewed him when I was at American Top 40. So so he totally opened up to me. We went onto the studio. I heard him doing Sacred Emotion, which became the second single.
Right.
I heard him doing Hold On, which became his third single. And he was very worried about how the article was going to be. In fact, he got into a big argument with Bob Hilburn, because Bob Hilburn was my editor. And Bob was, he told me, Guy, I wrote a draft for Bob. And he goes, Guy, look, I know you're a fan, but you got to ask him tougher questions. And I went, what? It's like, you calling me unprofessional? I mean, what the hell? Look at your own articles about your Bruce Springsteen. You're not a fan? I didn't tell him that, of course. Yeah. But anyway, so he goes, go back and ask him what was his worst moment. So I got to call Donnie and say, Donnie, so Bob wants me to ask you, what was your worst moment? He goes, I was afraid. Is he there? Yeah. Can I talk to him, please? Yeah. They go at it for 20 minutes. So the article comes out, and Donnie, the next day, he calls me up. He goes, oh, he was better than I thought he could be. Wow, you made it look so important. You had all the pictures of me throughout my career. And he went on and on and on. He goes, friends for life, man.
Oh, cool.
Friends for life.
Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of American Top 40. Can you believe that? 1970, July 4th. We're talking with Guy Aoki, who worked on the show for 4 years during the 80s. Got some great stories. We'll be right back. When you worked for American Top 40, you were doing production and you were mixing, and again, in the days before computers. So would you guys have the songs on reel-to-reel tape? Would you actually play 45s or on cartridge? Or
yeah, we would play 45s and LPs and 12 inches. And if some songs, the engineers would do an emergency short version.
Right.
So they would put that on tape. They would cut out some long solo in the middle of the record. They'd cut out a verse, because every hour had to come out to 47 minutes and 45 seconds. And then the other 12 minutes and 15 seconds were for national commercials and for the local stations to run their own commercials.
Right.
So when I'm mixing the show, I had to get it down to the second. We had all these versions available, the time, 45s, time for the LPs. Here's the emergency shortening if you really need to use it. And this is where you can come out of each record. Like, so the shave times were, you can just calculate all the shave times and know how much you could shave off the record without making it sound horrendous.
Did you guys ever come close to missing a deadline? And would people wait for you?
Not that I know. So because the reason why they mailed the shows out so early, remember, they mailed it out on a Friday.
Right.
And say they get it Saturdays, Monday, even Tuesday, was that they wanted to give the program directors a chance to audition each disc, make sure there's no technical problems with it. If there was, then they would immediately send out a replacement disc to them so they could air it by Friday or Saturday.
Or if there was a skip or a scratch or...
Yeah.
So, Guy, your favorite Casey Kasem story?
Can I cheat, and can it be the question that I sent in that they ran?
Sure.
That's how we got my job. See, what happened was, when I was in Hawaii, I figured out that this guy sang the lead vocal for five different groups that made the top 40.
I know.
So I sent in a question with an answer, and I said, who holds the record for singing lead vocals with the most groups that made the top 40? And the answer was five. Love Girls and My Rosemary Goes by Edison Lighthouse. United We Stand, Divided We Fall by the Brotherhood of Man. My Baby Loves Lovin' by White Plains. Give Me That Ding by the Pipkins. They all hit within the first 6 months, by the way. And three of them were on the chart at the same time. And in 1974, Beach Baby by First Class. So I sent this in, and they ran it. They gave me credit. And I wrote a thank you note later on, like way late. And as a PS, I wrote, I'm looking for a summer job. If you need a statistician, can you like send me an application form or something? Don DeStanny tracked me down in my dorm at Occidental College. and he offered me a job.
Wow.
You know, we have a production assistant that's about to leave, and we are looking for somebody, and we're very impressed with what you know about pop music. And, you know, we usually have an interview, but, you know, you can skip that segment. You can start tomorrow if you want.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Guy, that's incredible. And, I mean, look at your career from that. And the young man's name who was on every record is?
Tony Burrows.
Tony Burrows, indeed.
Tony Burrows.
Yes. I think he holds the record for that. Most amount of groups.
Still holds the record.
Good
but it's
you.
All thanks to Don Bastani for hiring me and putting me in that environment and then asking me to mix the show with the engineers. And it's all about Don Bastani, really.
Without Don, there would never have been an American Top 40, right?
Casey had the idea. He wanted to do a Top 40 national countdown. Don was the nitty-gritty guy. He was the guy who wrote it. He set the tone for what it was going to be like. It would not have been the same show without Don.
Would you trade this in, the working for American Top 40, for an experience in your life? I think I know the answer to that. Probably not, right?
It gave me a career. From being around her, I learned how to write radio. Started writing for Music Connection. I started writing for BAM. I wrote for, you know, all these different places. And that got me enough clips, so to speak, to get to the LA Times within two years.
And you were still a youngin.
I was hired to work at American Top 40 my senior year in college. I was still 21.
Guy, thank you so much for spending time with us today, and happy anniversary from all
so
of
much.
Us at Boss Boss Radio to the American Top 40 family. It is a part of our culture that for 50 years it's still going. Just
still
a different
running.
Host and different music. But I got to tell you, I don't think there's one person listening to our radio station here that doesn't have fond memories of listening to Casey count them down.
Well, thank you for what you do, and it's been a pleasure being on with you.
Till then, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
7:27 on the Boss, and of course, this is July 3rd. Tomorrow's July 4th, or what they like to say in the UK, Happy Treason Day, ungrateful colonists. Speaking of the UK.